and welcome to Very Amusing, your one-stop shop for the stories, secrets, and shenanigans of a popcorn-fueled theme park journalist. I'm Carly Wiesel, and if this episode sounds a little crisper, a little cooler than usual, it doesn't have to do with the new pop filter I got for my mic. It may. But no, it is because I've been taking Claritin daily. And I hope you can notice a difference in my voice. I was listening to other episodes, and I was like, you know, I sound a little nasally here. And between the rain, wind, heat, cold, every weather on the spectrum we've been getting in Los Angeles lately. And yeah, LA, you hear LA and you think like people, I don't know, like wearing swimsuits, riding in a Jeep, going to Santa Monica Beach. No, no, my friends. The weather has been absolutely bonkers the last few months. Absolute lunacy. I wear a puffy skiing jacket, a snowboarding jacket. That's how you say it. Not skiboarding. Wow. I'm recording this on a Monday morning in case you can't tell. I've been wearing this gigantic jacket every morning on our morning walk because it's so cold. But now I'm on Claritin, taking Claritin every day, and I'm smelling things. I'm smelling things I've never smelled before. Flowers, food. I will be honest with you, I don't like to talk about spotting celebrities in LA, but I walked past Benny Blanco this morning. He smelled great. There was some sort of like fragrant cologne. That man smelled nice, and I can smell it because of Claritin. This is not an ad for Claritin. I just love that I can use my nose now. In other news, today we are doing a kind of grab bag mishmash episode. It has been a while since we've done one of these, and frankly, this can't come soon enough because we have so much to talk about, so much that I had to have the list of things I wanted to discuss in this episode that we're going to have to recap in the next few weeks. But there's just so much news and stuff that I usually wait until there's an opening coming or something opens and I can talk about it after. And we got to talk about Epic Universe. We got to talk about D23. We got to talk about some stuff right now. We got to talk about it this week and just start the discussion on both because there's a lot coming down the theme park pike, and I want to get into it. In other news, what's going on in my life is that I can never remember where I am or what I did. And I think that is parenthood. Regularly when I tell a parent, if I'm like, am I ever going to sleep again? They laugh in my face, which I'm so tired. Usually I don't even know if I mentioned this podcast because again, your memory just goes. It just goes. There's just no more memory once you have a child. And then if I have ever been in awe of mothers and fathers and parents ever before, I am in a much deeper awe of anybody who does this more than once because it looks very, very tricky. I am blown away by people who have 3-4 children. You're all heroes. You're all heroes. You're all royalty. You should just get a cartoon sack of money at your doorstep every week, every month because you absolutely deserve it. But this weekend I had a bunch of family time. We went out to brunch with Pearl. We went out to lunch. I really wanted to go to Universal Studios Hollywood with her this weekend. I wanted to take her on one of the super silly fun land, I would call it like a Dumbo style spinner that they have at USH. I really wanted to take her on it because I've only taken Pearl to Universal once when she was really little to meet Shrek, obviously priorities. And now that I'm back at work full time, I really haven't been able to carve out a little window to take her there. So I was supposed to do that this weekend. It rained. I wasn't able to, but I went to a glorious Easter party. We had a great time. We went to the playground. We went to music class. We did a bunch of stuff. Sadly, none of them theme parks. And I won't lie, I haven't been to Disneyland in a couple weeks, and I'm itching for it. I was supposed to go this week. I had to cancel it. I want to go next week. I don't know if I can make it because of work stuff. But later this month, because it is officially April, I'm going to Disney World. So stay tuned because we are going to be doing multiple episodes after that trip. And oh yeah, I'm not just going to Disney World. I'm also going to Universal Orlando Resort for the first time in an amount of years I don't even want to say out loud. It's horrifying. Not being able to travel, not being able to get there easily. That rain is over. I'm finally back and I cannot wait for the theme parks in just a few weeks. So we're going to have so many on the ground episodes coming your way later this month. But for now, we're just going to talk. We're going to gab about Epic Universe, about D23, about a few other things I want to get into. So stick around for after this break and we'll have a little gab sesh. Okay, see you there. Bye.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
Hello and welcome back to our Mishmash episode. It's really been a while since we've just gabbed about news and things that we have to catch up on, and I would like to do these more often. Again, this podcast used to take a hard out. We used to take multi-month breaks, and now that we're a weekly, we gotta be doing this more because there is so much to talk about, especially as we are gearing up towards huge theme park openings and developments within the next year. We, to date, have not discussed Epic Universe at length, so naturally, we have to start there. And even if you're really not a Universal Orlando Resort person, if you think of yourself more of a Disney person, or maybe even a West Coast person, maybe you're a Disneyland, a Universal Studios Hollywood person, you will be an Epic Universe person when this is all that we're going to be talking about come 2025. Now, to rewind for a second, to zoom out, this is the new theme park coming to Universal Orlando Resort next year. It's not a land, it's not a ride, it's an entire park packed with what they're saying are 50 experiences. And while experiences aren't always rides or attractions, they can be shows, they can be character meets, they can be other little delicious bits of decor. So far, I'm very pleased with everything I'm seeing coming out of their camp. Now, to get everyone up to speed, this new park will be anchored by a theme park hotel, the Universal Helios Grand Hotel, which is something we don't have here in American parks. Disneyland Paris has one, a hotel right at the front of the park. Tokyo Disney Sea, as you know from our Tokyo guide, will soon have two different versions. I mean, kind of three, depending on the tier of the other hotel. But this is really a first for a major Florida theme park. And no, I'm not counting the Disney World Hub hotels, because while you can walk from Grand Floridian, you can walk from the Contemporary, it's really not the same as having a theme park hotel right there. This park opens next year, not that long from now. And PR began their initial push about 2 months ago with a video on the park as a whole and Celestial Park, and followed it up with their first land spotlight on How to Train Your Dragon just a few days ago. And I'm just going to say it, these kind of video drops, these informational kind of electronic press kit, as they used to call it when I worked in music, like those kind of drops are really interesting to me. I quite like it. It really gives everyone equal access to the announcement. And usually with like a big news drop like this, a lot of times a theme park PR will kind of send different information to different outlets. And I like that there's no tooling around here. You don't have to travel between different websites and different social media and try to gather all the details, which is very standard for reveals like this. I love that you just go to one place and you watch one video. And these videos, by the way, are very good. They blend together artistic renderings and models and animation to really give you so much more than a press release, a blog post, a photo, or a quick peek of what's to come. You can really kind of see these lands come alive before we're actually allowed in them, which I think is an incredible thing to plant when you're trying to drum up interest, especially since people are going to want to be planning their trips here quite soon. I mean, they even trotted Steven Spielberg out for the first one. So, like, what's not to like here? The front of the park will be Celestial Park, a seemingly IP-free expanse, which is a impressive choice. They're calling it a move to put the park back in theme park, which feels decidedly un-American, and I love it. I've been to three Universal parks and all of the Disney parks globally, and this really reminds me a bit of Shanghai Disneyland. Though theirs kicks off with a riff on Main Street USA, admittedly, the hub at Shanghai Disneyland is the first of all those nine parks I just mentioned that includes an attraction within it, an attraction in the hub. Add to it their emphasis on a garden and a place to relax and unwind, and I really like that we're bringing that sensibility into an Orlando park. I love that we're getting a park that's formatted more like that, that has somewhere in the center where you can just kind of take it all in a large format. And I prefer that a bit to the shopping corridors that we're somewhat used to. Granted, there is a reason for that, because you know you want to have a narrow purview before it opens up on something like a castle or another weenie of that kind. But still, I really like this with the portal setup, which brings you to the different lands. Now, in Shanghai, this area is called the Gardens of Imagination, and they've got the Fantasia Carousel and Dumbo. Yes, Dumbo the Flying Elephant in Shanghai is right in the hub. It's actually to the left of the hub, but it's to the left in the hub. And this is the first domestic theme park I've seen to feature not only a carousel in its hub center, but also a roller coaster. They got a whole roller coaster in the so-called hub of this park. And while it's not a hub, it is a land of its own, similar to Shanghai's Gardens of Imagination. Shanghai doesn't have a coaster like this. Yes, Starfall Racers, a dual launch coaster, really puts this park in perspective. It proves that they're not just leading off with an entrance with some things to look at. They're kicking things off with a modern day version of essentially Dueling Dragons, which used to be one of their biggest, most popular attractions. And so to have a similar ride that's not even in one of these separate themed lands, that is just in the center of the park, really drives home the kind of entertainment we should be bracing for with Epic Universe. Oh, and fun fact, you know who made Starfall Racers? Mack Rides, aka the family company of Thomas Mack, who was just on the podcast last week for Etrenaline. This dude's family does it all, truly. Like, they have their own park, they do these other parks. It's really something. I don't know why we're not talking about the Mack family more. It's very cool. Now, beyond the Mack family, Celestial Park really drives home this kind of gilded space mythology, star astronomy theme happening. Because the way Super Nintendo and Frankenstein and whatever Eddie Redmayne's character's name is from all those other movies, the way those are all connected is by way of portals or tunnel-like themed entrances to different planets, they've called them, or worlds, they've called them, which is how they're positioning those other theme park lands. As a refresher, those lands will be Super Nintendo World, Dark Universe, an entire land for the classic monster films, very cool, and Wizarding World of Harry Potter, Ministry of Magic. It's said to blend 1920s Paris from Fantastic Beasts and the British Ministry of Magic that you know from the Harry Potter series, which I know there are spoilers out there for. We will talk about that in a second. I have not looked at them. I want to be surprised and amazed, but just know those two somehow connect there. And of course, How to Train Your Dragon Isle of Berk, which we will be discussing today. And before we get into it, I just want to mention, talking about all of this is tricky because Universal is dropping these major news bombs and they have a clear rollout plan for when we're going to learn what. As always, I really kind of don't report on rumors, which is a struggle when they're building something this big and we got proof of it. So while I really don't feel comfortable discussing at length beyond what is officially on the record, announced, confirmed by the company, I do need to mention that because this is being built in public and BioReconstruct, everyone's favorite Twitter photographer / human bird, is out here capturing photos that are likely permeating your feeds as much as they have been on mine, we may have to blur the line time and time again. But keep in mind that here on Very Amusing, we are, for the most part, going to focus on what's official and what has been officially announced. That said, there is a treasure trove of information out there. And if you are curious to get a sneak peek at what the different sections of Epic Universe are going to look like I said, BioReconstruct on Twitter is your jam. Did I don't know, see an image of a Wizarding World portion on Twitter that kept me up at night because it blew me away? Yes, I did. Okay, I'm going to mention it because it's like kind of, you can kind of see it in the model, you can kind of see it in the video, you can see it all over your Twitter feed. They like fully recreated Paris, like a full street intersection in Paris. I'm so confused. The scale of this looks bigger than anything my brain can handle. I cannot wait to see this in real life specifically because I need to know what it will feel like to stand there and look up, because you will feel like you are in the middle of the city of Paris. And while there is another theme park in Florida that does a wonderful riff on Paris, the scale, it seems so much taller that instead of being like, oh, we crammed your favorite highlights into one space, this really feels like you're just plopped in the middle of the city from what I've seen from this one image. So not only am I stoked, I can't wait to see what a different take on one of the most beautiful places in the world looks like within a theme park. Anyway, More on that later, because they haven't officially revealed any of that stuff beyond saying it's Paris and having a little glimpse of it. But I mean, not their glimpse. It was in the model, et cetera, et cetera. It's fine. Listen, this is how things are going to get sticky. OK, I'm going to try to stick to what they've said and not dip into rumors. But that's where we are. But also I'm just going to say they do show the entire theme park model in the introductory Epic Universe video, which is why I feel comfortable bringing it up. And I'm going to put a link in the show notes that has it's exactly timed out so you can see the full model. But I like that model because if you're a little bit of a sleuth and you want to start there, they also include show buildings in the model. So you can see a little bit of Wizarding World, and then you can see big old show buildings. So listen, just take a peek. Just take a peek if you're a curious cat like I am. But if you truly want to scratch below the surface, y'all know what I'm about to say. I highly recommend heading over to Alicia Stella's feed. Alicia's Orlando Park Stop YouTube, website, and podcast have been covering every ounce of Epic Universe since before ground was broken on the project. As many of you know, Alicia is the Orlando queen. There's no other way to say it. She is royalty when it comes to discussing this park. She's been analyzing it and getting excited for these parks for so long that hopping on board now, there's just so much information there, and I highly recommend it. And also, when I say I don't report on rumors, Alicia's rumors aren't just like pulled out of thin air. This absolute theme park goddess, again, I can't say enough nice things about Alicia, is unreal at sourcing news through permits and filings and things like that. There's a basis for all of her information, which is why it's so often so accurate. I personally here will be waiting for the official reveals to discuss at length, but again, for spoilers, big time spoilers, head over there. Now back to Epic Universe and why I am so excited for this park. Partially, it's because Universal is coming out so confident. They are coming out swinging. Not only are they doing these massive info drops, but they're also releasing secondary video. You can literally go on Universal Orlando's YouTube channel and watch an aerial video, which they call an animated fly-through of these lands, which proves they're not hiding any details in rendering design. You can basically go on Soarin' with your own eyeballs sitting at your computer of two of the new theme park lands. Now, on to How to Train Your Dragon, the Isle of Berk. I'm going to admit, I'm always honest here, very amusing. This is the land I was least excited for. This is a franchise I have no personal connection with. I've seen a couple of the films. It's just not something that speaks to me like many of the other things that Universal Orlando Resort offers. And that's fine, because I think there's a lot of lands like that at Universal for different people. Something pulls you in, whether it's having a child who loves the Harry Potter book series, whether it's knowing an adult who goes to these places often and loves the E.T. attraction, yours truly. So whether it's a family member who loves DreamWorks or someone who just, I don't know, maybe they love Jimmy Fallon. Either way, there's always gonna be something you're more excited about and less excited about. And for me, it was How to Train Your Dragon until they released this info. So the story of the land is that here you become a Viking and you live alongside the dragons. That is like the most basic, straightforward way I can say to someone who has not watched these films. And from the get-go, I am obsessed with the placemaking of this land. You enter with a view of this entire island. It is jam-packed with colorful detail, with so much kinetic energy from these attractions. And you're going to see dragons, you're going to see decor. It really, really, really looks beautiful. Just knowing how they've knocked it out of the park with this similar sort of like placemaking with Volcano Bay, that's the first thing I thought of when I saw this imagery. I think this is going to be possibly the best looking land, except for that Paris, because that Paris looks amazing. There are four major attractions here among the color and the detail. There is Hiccup's Wing Gliders, a family coaster, Dragon Racers Rally, which is a lot of upside down, spinny, not my vibe, not gonna go on it once, probably never going again. There is a Fire Drill Boat Ride game, which is a shootout game aboard a boat. You will get soaked, they have warned you. And Viking Training Camp, a kids play area. Again, these attractions are not the ones that are going to bring me to Epic Universe, but I think I'm still going to spend a ton of time in this land. The other lands do align with me more, but here there is so much. What I really love about it is that there's so much interactivity, not just with you and the land, but with you and your traveling party and the land. You can go on Fire Drill, that boat ride, and play a game alongside your family. You can go on a family coaster, Hiccup's Wing Gliders, and maybe it's one of the first that you shared with a young child and it's something accessible for them. You can go on Dragon Racers Rally, which again, is not going to be me. It's like a pendulum and it spins. Listen, to me, that's a little more I'm going to say it, it's a little more carnival for my taste. I'm not really into that. But the Viking training camp is also a wonderful play area for children and for families alike. But that's not all, because there are two experiences here that I actually cannot wait for. The Untrainable Dragon Show. They have this at Universal Beijing, and it looks unbelievable. No spoilers of the one visual I really want to say that I have seen within the video, but tool around online if you want to see more. This show, I think, is going to blow people away. Universal has the Born Stuntacular at Universal Studios Florida, which you know I'm obsessed with. Side note, we have a full episode about that that goes more in depth into that show and what you can expect from it. That's from a while back, but still lives up because that show is so good. That show is such a good stunt show. It's such a good stunt show. And Universal has proved they can do this well. And because this is, you can already see footage of it online. It's so good. It's so good. The Untrainable Dragon Show, I think, will bring people to this land, even if they don't have a connection to the franchise. And of course, if you do, you can meet Toothless the Dragon. And what's absolutely bonkers is that as much of Epic Universe as there still is to discuss, we have three entire lands we have not even gotten official information about, haven't gotten those video drops about. That beyond that, coming next year, we also have DreamWorks Land opening this year at Universal Studios Florida. Knowing my luck, they will release a date like the second after this podcast drops. But we're getting Shrek, Trolls, Kung Fu Panda, and various other DreamWorks franchises within Universal Studios Florida. And on top of that, there's also this Butterbeer celebration happening on both coasts, which is, we don't have to get into that, because what you do need to know, can you tell us something exciting is about to happen? My voice is like, is that we now have Froyo in Universal Studios Hollywood. We have Florian Fortescue's at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter within Universal Studios Hollywood. Now, while we don't have the hard scooped ice cream, which is the best elite theme park ice cream, in my opinion, one of my favorite ice creams in the entire world is getting their hard scooped, hard pack ice cream. We do have the soft serve flavors. We got butterbeer, banana, chocolate, mint, orange, vanilla, toffee nut, Granny Smith apple, pistachio, and toffee apple served in a cup or a waffle cone at Universal Studios Hollywood. Now, I unfortunately am going to do that tomorrow, the day after this episode comes out. So stay tuned on my social media for a recap. I'll probably talk about it next week. But I am so delighted that one of my all-time favorite Universal Orlando foods has finally landed in California. I can't wait. I can't wait. But you're not here to listen to me talk about how excited I am to eat 10 containers of ice cream for breakfast, because you know I'm going to do it. You know I'm going to do it. We are here to talk about Epic Universe and really what it means for you. Because if you're hearing this going, sounds great, how do I even plan my 2025 vacation in Orlando? I genuinely have no idea. I have no idea yet. Because not only do we not yet know when this park is opening, I'm going to assume on the early end because things seem to be going pretty well, but I feel like scheduling-wise, planning-wise, if you're going to Epic Universe, you're going to need more than a day, it seems. And if you want to see all these different portals, you're going to have to go for a minute. Which brings us back to the big issue. The Universal versus Disney conundrum. Because as much as they are separate entities in the same city, you kind of can't talk about Epic Universe without acknowledging this never-ending pull between the two companies. And sometimes they even play into it. I'm looking at you, Universal Social Media. I'm looking at you. And sometimes they ignore it, which might happen once Epic Universe comes out. Now, these two are regularly compared, contrasted, evaluated side by side, even if they don't want to be. And by the way, we've discussed this before, but these two corporations battling for our attention, for our money, it's good for us. People only have so much time when they're traveling to Orlando, and this push-pull for vacationers that's been happening for decades now has undoubtedly pushed these resorts to create some of their most stunning, technologically advanced attractions. And when it comes to these two, I'm not even going to debate affordability or ease. Universal prides itself on a small gaggle of affordable hotels and really impressive vacation packages. But Disney's not far behind. They did release a 4-day, one park per day ticket for this summer that's $99 a day. That's a steal for summer at Disney World, $99 a day. And they also removed park reservations for most ticketing types recently. So there is a balance going on between the two. But still, the batting back and forth between these two Floridian theme park behemoths remains and will kick up into an entirely new gear leading into 2025. Because for a while, I'm going to call it how I see it, Disney has seemingly asserted repeated dominance. But out here on the streets, it feels like things are possibly tipping Universal's way. Because even if we dance around it, Universal Orlando Resort now has three parks. I mean, four if you include Volcano Bay, their water park they want us to say is a water theme park, which is very cool. But once Epic Universe opens, they are going to have three full theme parks. And if your kid loves Harry Potter, that's three parks you gotta visit. Are you very into DreamWorks? You'll be bouncing between Universal Studios Florida and Epic Universe. If you're into Super Nintendo and or Jurassic Park, Transformers, thrill rides, shows, stunt, if you, your friends, your family, your spouse, if anyone is into an array of those, you kind of can't skip out on much, which means that Universal just went from being a 2, maybe 3 day trip to a 4, 5, 6 day trip. And when you're visiting 3, maybe 4 parks where one is entirely new, we're creeping towards a full week-long vacation at Universal. And suddenly, the tables are beginning to turn. Because instead of going, well, you know, we always go to Disney, why don't we go to Universal this time? You may soon realize that your balance of 4 days at Disney, 2 at Universal, just because there's so many more parks at Disney World, suddenly might be shifting or even flip-flopping. And while we've seen this new shiny battle between Disney and Universal before, this one is different. It is the first new full theme park opening in Orlando in around 25 years. Animal Kingdom opened in 1998. Islands of Adventure opened in 1999. And there really isn't a large-scale park opening coming to Disney World to balance this out. That we know of yet. But if they were building a full-scale park on par with Epic Universe, it would already be built. So even if they announce it, let's say today, they come out of the gate, there is a brand new gate, fifth gate coming to Disney World, it's going to be a handful of years down the road, which is going to give Epic Universe a very standalone moment for theme park fans' attention. And while the next big thing coming to Disney World is Tiana's Bayou Adventure later this year, which, by the way, I am stoked about, don't get me wrong, after that, we really don't know what's happening, which is why Epic Universe's rollout, announcement, and eventual opening is such a big deal. Because whatever comes next to Disney World, it needs to be significant. Which brings us to D23. We'll get into that right after this break. Okay, you know that feeling that everyone knows something that you don't? For me, that used to be Quince, but no more. Quince is a truly astounding retailer, essentially carrying everything a person on your mood board would wear. We're talking washable silk blouses, chic leather bags, 14 karat gold jewelry, European linen dresses, and the best part of all is that Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They're up here with $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters. $50! Beautiful, timeless items you can wear and actually live in. Meaning, you don't have to be scared to bring them on your theme park travels. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you're sensitive to retailers like I am, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. But it's not just your everyday work-life clothes. They have everything. I recently joined a new gym, big deal for me, and desperately needed new workout clothes to wear there. It's kind of like an LA gym. Like, it kind of got to look cute. So I ordered a pair of their Ultraform bike shorts and high-rise pocket leggings. And when I tell you, the quality of these leggings is truly on par with brands I paid 3 times as much for, which really kind of makes me love these 3 times more. I'm not only going to buy them again, but actually buy the other travel stuff in my cart, because they have things like beautiful pastel suitcases for $129 and these wildly affordable compression packing cubes that I have been waiting forever to buy compression packing cubes, and they're always so pricey, and here, the price fits. So if you want to get ready for work, your new gym, travel, anything in your life, go to Quince. Quince.com/amusing will get you free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Ooh, that's nice for someone who puts stuff off like I do. That's Quince.com/amusing to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/amusing.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back. As we mentioned a few moments ago, this year's Disney Fan Convention is especially timely for theme park fans. The Walt Disney Company's Fan Expo is always a huge draw for its activities and panels and entertainment and the camaraderie among fans and all the experiences and things you can buy and things you can see and things you can do. Of course. But the biggest attention getter is the news. So much news drops at these star-studded panels. I mean, who could forget Bob Iger coming on stage and saying, "We're building two," when announcing Star Wars Galaxy's Edge? If you're in theme parks as deep as I am, I know you're picturing it, because that image is kind of iconic. It's burned in my brain for an eternity. And this year's D23 is different in more ways than one. I attended the D23 preview event the other week when all of the initial details were dropped, including stuff like D23 Day at Disneyland, which I don't think we've discussed on the podcast. This is a celebration on Thursday, August 8th, before D23, that is open to all ticketed park goers. It basically seems like a regular day with a bit of extra celebration and pomp. There's going to be a custom cavalcade and a dance party at Disneyland. Disney Junior at DCA will have a special celebration, which will move to Downtown Disney that Friday through Sunday, which I love. Because Downtown Disney is free to attend, and I love when Disney does fun entertainment for free. But essentially, both theme parks will have special photo opportunities. I keep saying celebration because I don't know the other details yet. I'm sure we will get them closer too. But for the entire week of August 4th through August 11th, there will also be special offers, decor, and magical moments, I'm told, at Downtown Disney. As for the fan event itself, there's going to be more shopping than before this year, which is saying a lot because there's usually a lot of shopping. Stages are going to be set up a little bit differently, and we even got a few early panel reveals, including Walt's famous trips to Latin America, a look back at New York World's Fair, ooh, sign me up for that one, and a conversation with Disney legends on the archive stage. They're also doing this huge giveaway thing, which I haven't heard people talk too much about, called D23 Fantastic Prizes. Keep an eye out for that because you can win some big stuff. You can win some big stuff. And I'm pretty sure it's open to people who are not attending the actual expo in person. So just keep an eye out for that. There's some really good prizes. There's some really good prizes. But the big news, of course, which you've likely heard of if you're listening to Very Amusing, is that the major panels have been moved. Previously, everything was housed at the Anaheim Convention Center. Now those big panels, those highlight panels of the weekend, have been moved to Honda Center, a separate, larger venue. Tickets went on sale recently, and I'm not going to say it went well. I'm not going to say it went swimmingly. Generally speaking, I don't think it was as easy as anyone was hoping for it to be on either end. Personally, I was optimistic about the ticketing, seeing as it was an actual venue with infrastructure, and, you know, they regularly sell tickets, it's like a permanent venue. But sadly, people waited what seemed like online for a very long time. It seemed pretty stressful. But conversely, if you take that out of it, it is just proof of how high in demand things with Disney are these days. And while we could break down the pricing, discuss it at length, I actually think the pricing was pretty good. I say this and it really doesn't matter because all of the tickets are sold out. They all sold out very quickly. And when it comes to theme parks, you know that things are worth what they're priced as. If people will pay it en masse, that's the price, even if you don't love it. And people paid for this quickly, which means that they priced it right. There were some lower cost tickets that were higher up in the 400 levels, which I thought was pretty great that you could spend, I don't know, $99 and like probably see Harrison Ford from across an arena. Like, that's not bad. But the pricing obviously escalated higher than there, and people bought it, so they priced it right. That is how pricing works. I mean, full disclosure, which I should mention here, I did not buy tickets this round. I typically attend as media, which is, trust me, its own separate stressful application acceptance process. But we're discussing ticketing because it was the big takeaway from the D23 discussion. And I want to make sure that we're talking about D23 as a whole and not centering around any sort of struggle you saw on Twitter, because it is so much more than the demand for tickets. So that demand does play into the larger story. And the reason they moved from Anaheim Convention Center to Honda Center is that it's actually for what I thought was a really smart decision. There are other caveats to it, but essentially it meant that people weren't rolling the dice on getting a ticket to D23 and then getting into Hall D where all the big news comes out. As stressful as it probably was these past few days to get tickets and get them purchased, it is nice to know you have a reserved seat. You will be there for the panel. And I think that ultimately that's a net good, regardless of how these past few days went. Because for the first time, people will be moving between two locations during this fan convention. And if you haven't been to D23 before, basically everything used to be in one big building. And now the highlight, the big ticket events are going to be at nighttime, a drive away. So transportation-wise, we're going to put a pin in it. We're going to see how it goes. But it really, the optimist view is that it gives people more access to the things they want from D23, which I think is a good move. We will see how it works when it actually happens, because moving a large group of people, while it is something Disney excels at, that can be tricky at an event like this. I'm hoping, I hope to be on the buses with everyone else. I hope it works out, but I'm just saying that now. We're not going to talk about transportation until it happens. I know people have asked me a lot of questions about buses and things, so that's why I'm saying it. We're not going to get into that yet, because we got to talk about the panels that are happening at Honda Center. Friday will encapsulate all of the studio, movie, TV, Disney Plus announcements as part of the Disney Entertainment Showcase. Saturday, we'll have the Disney Experiences Showcase, which is basically our bread and butter if you're listening to this. And Sunday will be the Disney Legends Ceremony, where a lot of top-tier talent and celebrities come out and are awarded for being a Disney legend for their importance and reverence in relation to the Walt Disney Company. And these are a big deal because so much news comes out of this. So many celebrities show up to announce their new projects, and you really kind of learn what you're going to be watching on TV at home, what you're going to be going to the movies for, what ship you might be sailing on, what theme park you're going to spend your next vacation at, and it really tees up a lot of news. But we got to talk about the Saturday panel, because we need a lot of Disney World news. At the previous D23 fan event, we were given a lot of promises. It was a lot of blue sky, a lot of looking forward, kind of feeling out different ideas and concepts that haven't fully come to fruition yet. They haven't panned out to be a confirmed huge project yet. And from what I hear in whispers from people who tip me off to some of these things, there is a lot going on at WDI internally, but on our end, we need a big announcement on that Saturday of D23 this August. For the parks, but especially the parks through the lens of Epic Universe. And again, while theme park companies don't like being compared like that, I know they don't like me saying it, and I gotta say it anyway. Because while they don't like to be compared side by side, we, the people who fly and drive and travel to Orlando, who do these themed experiences, who use our hard-earned money to decide where we're gonna vacation and what we're gonna do on that very important trip, we compare them side by side to figure out what themed experience is best for our family, for our friends, for who we are traveling with. And with Epic Universe coming out, like we said, Disney really needs to hit that Saturday night panel hard. We need to know that there is something big coming to Disney World soon. Because if they don't announce something, clearly nothing gigantic, nothing on the level of Epic Universe is currently being built at Disney World. But even if they're ideating it, even if it's fully scheduled out. It is signed, sealed, delivered. If they haven't broken ground yet, it's going to take time. And I think that Disney World really needs to know what the future of that resort is, which is why personally, I will have all eyes on that Saturday panel. Whether or not I'm in attendance, I hope to be there. But regardless, that is going to determine essentially how we spend the next few years of our free time. I do want to highlight two things that we will discuss closer to the event, but I want to discuss one thing I'm really looking forward to and one thing I am a little concerned about. And something I'm really looking forward to this year specifically are the regular panels. Typically, Hall D is where all the big news happens, and the other panels within Anaheim Convention Center are just kind of relegated to this sort of second tier status, just automatically, because listen, if they're showing 10 minutes of Avatar in one hall and there's something else going down in the other hall, the 10 minutes of Avatar is the special thing where the news is coming out. That's the big deal. But now those panels, which used to run concurrently across from other panels at Convention Center, are now nighttime panels. And there's no other panels competing with them for time. So I think it'll really let these smaller, sort of more specific, more fan-driven panels specific to different, if you're a Marvel person, if you're a Muppets person like me, if you're into Duffy, which our panel was last year, the smaller panels I think are really going to thrive this year. And I think that's going to be super, super cool. They have felt a little bit like I didn't get into this one, I'll go to this one. Did I not see Avatar because I went to the Muppets panel? You know I did. But I'm excited to see I want to see those flourish, which I think will be a highlight for this year. The thing I'm concerned about, I'm not supposed to talk about this yet because we don't know details, but it's the transportation. I'm hoping that the busing of people from a convention center to an arena goes well. I'm hoping that splitting between rideshare buses, cars, however people get there, it works out. We really won't know until that first evening. I trust Disney. They are a company that excels at moving large groups of people between spaces, so I'm hoping for the best. But I know other people are a little anxious about getting there. I'm a little anxious about getting there. I think the key is going to be to leave early. We will talk about this at length closer too, but if you are stressed about it, I'm stressed about it too. And I will let you know the first ounce of information that I can find out once they tell me. There is some other stuff that happened this week, but we'll just get into it quickly. It's a Small World featuring Marvel characters at Tokyo Disneyland. Listen, a lot of people have reached out to me and DM, messaged me, wanted to know my thoughts about this. I am going to hold my thoughts back until I see a ride through of it, because what's interesting to me is that Marvel is entering their version of the Magic Kingdom for the first time. And it's not just some sort of synergy project, because remember, the Walt Disney Company does not own Tokyo Disney Resort. So this is a hybrid of both companies. This isn't something that feels very American to put Marvel in Small World temporarily as an overlay, as a seasonal thing, but any other park and I'd be stressed. Here, there either must be a huge demand for it, and or they know the Japanese audience will be delighted by this, or it's just going to be really good. So I look forward to seeing what this is. I'm trying to be optimistic. It does seem a little odd. It does seem a little April Foolsy. I know Twitter had a lot of reactions, but either way, I look forward to what this is going to be, and I will save my thoughts for that. But one other thing I wanted to mention is, y'all, Disney Cruise Line is fully about to pop off. Like, fully. They have a new island coming. They have two new, brand new build ships. They have the Disney Treasure at the end of this year, as we all know. And they also have Disney Destiny coming in 2025. This is an entirely new ship, and the theming is heroes and villains? Villains? Like a villain theming on a cruise ship? What are the bar spaces going to be like? What sort of interactive dining are we going to get? What stage shows? Like, I truly can't get ahead of myself thinking of it, but especially because the Wish, the Treasure, and Destiny have come in such quick succession, I do feel like we're going to get a lot of IP, a lot of characters, a lot of films on the Disney Destiny that we haven't gotten on Wish and Treasure, and I really, really look forward to that. If you have any other questions or things we want to discuss on future Mishmash episodes, give me a call at 747-CHURROS. Let me know. And stay tuned for some really fun episodes coming up. Okay, bye.
When
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's our show! Thank you all so much for listening. You can rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, and rate and follow us on Spotify. It actually matters. It's not just like a random thing that people say at the end of podcasts. I assure you, it like really matters. It really matters. It's like voting at the polls, but for your favorite podcast all the time, but you can only do it once ever, I think. So if you haven't done it, please do it. We appreciate it. And I get a little summary email, and it's really nice to see when people say nice things. I appreciate it. You can give us a call with your theme park questions, concerns, complaints, rants, travel planning conundrums at 747churros. You can send it as a voice note, and you can email it to 747churros@gmail.com. We have a churros roundup episode coming very soon, so get those calls in. I'm going to wait for this final warning. I'm going to say get those calls in, and we are starting on that episode in a few days. So please, 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 if you have any random planning questions, any dining recommendations you'd like at theme parks, any overseas travel that you want to yell at me to make a guide, I know I need the, I need to do the Disneyland Paris guide. I know I'm getting on it. I promise. Things like that, call, text, or email that in ASAP. You can buy Very Amusing merchandise at very-amusing.com. You can follow me at Carly Wiesel on all the platforms. You can join the Fomaly at facebook.com/group/Carly Wiesel. And you can subscribe to my Instagram. We have a really nice crew going there. I feel like I'm not supposed to say how many people are there, but it's a good amount of people. It's very fun. It's a good chunk. We have fun. It's also one of the features that I love most about it, beyond just being able to post to a smaller circle, which is honestly like the ideal Patreon side, I don't know how to describe that in like terms, but where you have like a premier tier, a tiered experience, that's probably it. I really like it because not only can I post stuff directly to you, but also my Instagram DMs are, there's no way to manage them. It would be like a secondary job. But if you're a subscriber, it has a little icon next to your name. So then it's like easier to know, like, oh, you're a subscriber, and I can click on it, and then you're probably responding to something that I post to subscribers, and we can have like a side little chat, which is much easier than the regular feed. So consider subscribing. It's, again, 99 cents a month. I think that's as cheap as they let you do it. So I've been told it is way more content than you would expect for 99 cents, which I appreciate. I love to underprice and overdeliver. So come join us. It's really fun. This episode was edited scientifically by Jeff Fox. Thanks so much for listening. See you real soon.
Hey, hon, it's Mom.
What a fun week. Starting off with a magic castle, like you need to know a magician to get in. Who would you know? Oh, my goodness. It's formal. It's great. It's fun. And I'm definitely going with you for sure. And yes, Steve does make the best pizzas out of anywhere. He is amazing. Okay, I hope I say this right. But Thomas Mack from Adrenaline was fabulous and fun to listen to. A restaurant with great food, a ride, moving chairs. I mean, loading chairs. What is this ride? Oh, my God. While you're eating and it's great food? I wish we knew this 5 years ago when we were in Germany together. 8-course dining, 11 rooms, you dress up. I want to go so bad. I didn't mention the restaurant Marché, that there's a bunch. I have gone to Marché, and it was wonderful. And Thomas asked you to do a shout-out for your viewers so that maybe one of your subscribers could invest. I thought that was hysterical. What a riot. He won a tea award. Of course he did. How exciting. And every 28 minutes, you have a different dining experience, sitting with other people, like, if you have a date next to you, like, you just meet all these other people, I guess. It's the way to go. It was a great way to talk and mingle with people you don't know. And yes, Carly, it would most definitely be one of our birthdays when we go there. Definitely on my bucket list. Great episode. I love you, Carly. I love you, Pearl. I love you, John Stamos. I'll talk to you soon. Bye. And subscribe. It's so much fun.